Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, on yesterday, all the emails and messages that and the, all the texts we received after the show was huge, and I'm really excited. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to read everything and all of them, but they was, I mean, they are really excited about the Sambo of the Year Award. They feel that this should be, this year, every single city should have a Sambo of the Year Award. It should not be just certain cities. We must call these Sambos out. They have destroyed our community, our city, everything, really, for the last 50 years. And they always get away with it. You accept them back in the community like they're heroes. And they, what they did, what you see is happening today, is because these Sambos, they want to be just like these white folks. After all that hell we have went through, they want to be just like them. But before we get to the Sambo talking about that, we do have a new leader. A new leader. And I will get to that shortly. We have a new leader, unsuspected leader we have at this time. A leader, a new leader. I would have never bet in a thousand years, even though he deserves it, that he would be the leader at this time. But what we have is martial law in the United States, in every city when it comes to black people. The Constitution protection and the Bill of Rights are locked away and placed in a cold storage. They don't use them for us. See, they go by, the Constitution is good for white folks, but it's not good for black folks because they don't use. And it's been like this for years. Nobody even talk about this. Nobody even do. And the counter-revolution was unleashed with a full fury effect on African-Americans, our men, our women, our teenagers, and yes, our children. And nobody want to talk about that, you see. What they want to talk about, they want to confuse the community by first they planted all these guns in our community. Oh yeah, they planted it was planted. Matter of fact, I was told about a whole box of AK-47s that was provided in every city. Yeah, I can't say it was done by the United States Army, a government, or the FBI. I can't say that. But they was placed in our city. Everybody got a gun now. Everybody. And what they have done is made us pretty much cowards. Because every time we have a dispute, we want to go out and shoot somebody. You know? Hey, something you have to sit down and deal with. You see? Then step on your shoe. Do that mean you got to shoot me? Huh? Do that mean you got to shoot me? This is how black folks handle situations now. Because now what they do, they shoot everything. But when the war comes, and it's coming, civil war, it's going to be black against white, most all the white supremacists, it's coming, you are not going to have any bullets. That's right, because you're going to use all your bullets up on each other. That is exactly what's happening today. You know, I talked about that conversation on the show yesterday about I had this young man who came to me and told me, he said, well, what if, he said this, what if every single time a police officer shoot and kill somebody, you'd be waiting at his house to ambush him. What if? He didn't say he was going to do it, so don't. Oh, they're going to want to kill police officers. No, we want to stop the killing of black folks. That's what we want to do. And it should be by any means necessary. And here's the deal. Some of us are going to have to take a bullet to make this happen. The thing is, we're not mentally tough enough to understand what we do today going to help our children in the future. See, one thing the Godfather taught me, and this, and I like the little things about the Godfather. I like the little things. When Michael was in Cuba with Hyman Ross, he told Hyman Ross, he said the Cubans can win this thing because here's one reason, because they were willing to die for the future of their children. They were willing to die. And you don't have many black folks willing to take up for the reason, for the people, for the future of their children. You don't have many black folks willing to do anything nowadays because they got them thinking, the white folks got them so confused that they don't even know which way is up. You know, think about that. Where is martial law here? Go into the courtroom. Go in there. If that cop said that you obstructed justice, you were fleeing and eluding even though you weren't fleeing and eluding, you resist arrest, you're going to get convicted. You got a 99.9% chance of being convicted, even though you did, even though they have the cameras and everything. Because most likely you're going to have an all-white jury. And most of them are white supremacists. You know, you have a white judge. You have a white prosecutor. Your attorney is white. And the jury is white, all white. Basically, you don't have a chance. There's no justice here in America. There's definitely no justice in Barron County. And we accept this as if these white folks is doing the right thing. And it's not all right. It is not all right. What they do is wrong. And we have to tell them it's wrong. You can't go in these courtrooms and tell these people the truth because they don't want to hear the truth. They're not interested in the truth. They care less about the truth because they are liars. The biggest liars that you ever want to look. Now, you know, I don't even like to call this man names, but you knew he was a liar and everybody around him was a liar. And all these white folks joined him on this lie. Yeah, all these white folks joined him on this lie. They knew that they was lying. But rather than just say the man was lying, they used sometimes he misspoke. 5,000 times and rather than just call him a liar. That's a sad, sad situation. That's a sad situation anytime things like this happen. But this is the world we live in. Black folks ain't gonna, look, black folks rather side with the white folks than side with the black man that's right. He would rather side with the white man who destroyed him rather than the black man that's helping him. This is how they operate. And then you got black folks who want to be white. They want to be white. I don't know why. There's not a reason in the world you as a black man want to be like these white devils. They devils. Not all. Not all. But you got a lot of these devils floating around here. They would do anything. They will kill you and get away with it. Yeah, they will. I fear for my life. They had a gun, you didn't. And they fear for their life. They shoot you 25 times, and they fear for their life. But you as a black man, with the shoes on the other foot, you shoot somebody, you go into jail. This is the world. The reason why this is happening, nobody want to stand up and fight back. Nobody has to, want to take a bullet. Nobody want to say, well, hey, I'm doing this for the future of the children. That's what it's all about. See, that's what they're trying to keep you from doing. and they try to keep you falling into this materialistic bag. People going out trying to look good for the people. These people don't care nothing about you. Like what I do for the future of our children. It ain't for no individual, none of that stuff. Because I know that they're going to figure out a way not to like you anyway. But who cares? Don't give people that much power over you. Because they're nothing. If you're not out here building for the future of our children, you're not doing nothing. All you're doing is spinning your wheel. There's not an excuse in this world why we should be in such a compromised position. We can't even go to court. You can't go to court. Let me tell you the best of that. They don't believe the Constitution. They don't believe. They think the Constitution is only for white folks. That's what they believe. They believe that the Constitution of these United States of America is strictly for white folks. That's what they believe. And they believe, I mean, how many lies do people have to tell? They knew that this man was lying and didn't say a mumbling word. And I don't even want to call his name because I know he was a liar. Everybody that followed him is a liar. Everybody. I don't care who you is. If you voted for him, you're a liar. But unfortunately, we want to be just like these white devils. We want to be just like them. White supremacy is alive and well. And I tell you this. We got a long way to go, but we can make this thing happen. All we have to do is do what's right. Care the future of our children. But look, I'm gonna elaborate a little bit on the Sambo of the Year Award. And like I said, the new leader is Ron Singleton. He's the new leader. He got 6,347 as of today. 6,347 votes for the Sambo of the Year. He's the leader at this time. I think what blew him up was people wanted to know about how he stole the radio station. Well, it's not just the radio station, you see. Like I said, he's getting lieutenant retirement pay right now. I think he was a corporal or something. I don't even know whether he was a corporal. I don't know what he was. But he was friends with the chief of police who they were stealing the police retirement fund. They got caught, though. They made him sign a consent, but doing that, but they cut out on him. And I think that's where the confusion at. And this is the same guy that we talked about, one of the finest churches in the nation we had here. There was not a church better than Pilgrim Rest. So they sent this guy, Ron Singleton, to go look for a new pastor because the original pastor had died. And I got to say, he wasn't a bad person. And but he died, so they sent him to go get a new pastor. He went to Fort Wayne. Everybody in Fort Indiana told him, don't hire this guy. Don't hire him. He just got kicked out of one church. They kicked him out. He couldn't even go inside the church. And he couldn't go inside the church. And next thing you know, he's the new pastor of Pilgrim Rest. And then this guy left. This coward left. Man, what a world we live in. He did the people wrong. And he's going to have to answer that. God is going to be waiting on him. Because he was warned and did what he should not have done. Then we have the mayor there, Marcus Singer. Some of y'all call him Muhammad. He got 6,328 votes. He's in second place at this time. And what a slime ball this guy is. This guy is the slimiest person you ever want to meet. And unfortunately, he wants people to think that his level of intelligence is above everybody else, but he's about as dumb as they come. To me, he's stupid, you know. And there's a difference of being intelligent and being just plain stupid. You could be stupid on some subject and be smart on others, but this guy is just straight out stupid. He's so dumb. He's so busy trying to get white folks to like him. He let this guy be rubbing all back and then kissing the governor butt. But she called him on that. He called himself gonna run as an independent. He would probably get no votes. You know, he's gonna run as an independent. It would have been ugly. But unfortunately, she pulled him in and he decided he wasn't gonna run. But this guy's a real slime ball. Even his wife came to City Hall and told the world that this guy is a low-life scumbag. Like, he don't even take care of his children. You never see him with his children. Never. I said, in 20 years, you have not seen this guy with his children. I haven't. Uses the wife bee, because he came on my house, the children had, and the wife. But I have never seen him with his children. Never. Not one time. I have not seen him with his children. So he's definitely someone that you want to be reckoned with and make sure that he also is a horrible, horrible person. So that's another reason. Then you have the one and only Judge Mayfield. And this is important because Judge Mayfield, taking babies from a family, and what they do, they take the babies and then they sell them off. You see, everybody don't know that. But what they do, everybody makes money, including the judge. You know, it was just back in Pennsylvania, but they do it all over the country. You see, Mayfield, when she would take the children, give them to, human, whatever that is, and then they auction them out to other people, and everybody makes money over one child. There's so much money to be made. And this lady been doing it for 20 years, and nobody has called out. But now we're calling out. She has shot up. She was a leader last week. But now Singleton, with his still in that radio station, has propelled him to a new level. And then we have Dwayne Singer. Now, he's this guy, Marcus Singer, partner, the mayor. They partner. They went to school together and all this. And they like, you know, they the same people, you see. And this guy, every time this guy go to a bar and take a drink, then go preach the next day, you know, he leave blood on that glass. His hand is bloody. He had the nerve to want me to shake his hand one day. I said, absolutely not. I wouldn't shake your hand if you paid me, because it's full of blood. And I won't get into the reason why it's bloody, but I will say he has a very bloody, bloody, bloody hand. And then we have his mother. You talking about a backstabber. This woman is a backstabber and a half. What she do, she'll call you up and have the person she's talking about try to get you to say something bad about somebody else, and they be on the other line. That's how she operates, you see. She operates just like that. You talking about a slime ball. This woman is the slimiest person you ever want to meet. And then we have McGinnis. Never solved the case. We have let me see. Seats have Dwayne seats at 6,297. His mama, which is the first time in history this has ever happened, a mother and a son, she got 6,158. And then we have the chief of police, Chief McGinnis, with 6,075. So I take this serious, the nomination for the Sambo of the Year, because these are strictly sellouts. These are the ones that's hurting your children, and they're killing our children, but yet they don't want people to know. And let me repeat the name so you will know who these people are. You know, if you want to be, that's you. I won't have nothing to do with these people. They can't even talk to me. I won't even let them talk to me. Ron Singleton, Marcus Singer, Muhammad, Dwayne Seats, Judge Maybelline Mayfield, and then you have McGinnis. So get your votes in, do what you need to do, and take it to another level. I got to bring my good friend Annette, and from there, what we'll do is make it happen, because A lot of people have been asking for Annette. They've been talking about her. But Annette, you got to talk loud so people can hear you, and that way we can get you on Facebook Live and also on Blog Talk Live, both ways. So, Annette, you there? Can you hear me? Talk to me.
Yes, I can hear you, and I hear you loud, and I hear you very clearly. Again, I, you know, when I hear your intro every single show, I invite people, please, whenever you hear this show, to have your paper and your pen. This is going to be very important to always take notes when we're actually having the show. We want to give you information for you to give every single person, your media, your contacts, your churches, your schools, your universities, your family members. We want this. We want you to give this to your enemies. So one of the things we really want people to do, first of all, thank you so much. It is so important that we have all of our numbers up. We have everybody is listening in and they tune in. So that is going to be very important, is organizing, organizing, organizing. I totally so much agree with everything you said, Reverend, because it is going to be where we need to just draw this line in the sand. And on your show today, I'm announcing the takeover of the Davis Brothers Lumber Company, LTD. LTD, family business model, means limited to the family. Now, again, one of the things we really want people to understand is the family, we're going to get what belongs to us because we're the family, and they laid their paperwork. And that is what Ms. Parker and I talked about on yesterday, is how you structure anything, how you have it structured is so important. And we're going to teach financial literacy because we don't care who's in office. I'm tired of looking at all this stuff and this money, how they funneling in it and, you know, flooding TV stations and do this way that this. No, this is will not occur. We don't care who's in office because we got our own thing going on. And so, again, today we're announcing the takeover on your show. Furthermore, it follows an event. And so, again, we're having the announcement. It runs for 30 days. However, we want to explain to every single person how this actually works. I have a company called MPACS, Metroplex Area Community Services. It's a multicultural community organizing because, again, we're getting ready to have a global economy where we're going to be sitting at the table. We're sitting at the table with China, Russia, Asia, the Hispanic, whoever at the table, we just letting you know we're there. And we are partaking of the fruit of our labor and our wealth and what's been wrongfully stolen and hidden and taken. Okay, anyone who come on with the Davis family, the Victor family, and of course we already see Mr. Benjamin Clump is on the state capitol down there in Louisiana. We're wanting all of our university schools of law. We want the pro bono. We want the pro se, the whistleblower, everything. Because, again, we're talking about how we have been wrongfully, like you said, murdered, shot, killed, raped. This entire, again, this is global. 600 journalists went to 117 countries. And they have revealed what is called Pandora Papers. Please write this down, please, every single person. Pandora Papers. And it is imperative that every single person that you talk to, you come in contact with, you inform them about the Pandora Papers. This is on YouTube. And then invite them to go to $50 trillion offshore with James S. Henry. Now, they said in Congress, and again, that is on YouTube, Congress examines 32 trillion dollars hidden. Go to that on your YouTube. Listen to the entire hearing. And you're going to hear 53 minutes in there where they talk about Miss Erica Hanacek and say, oh, a family with a main interest in a lumber company. Now, I've asked her to send me that information. It doesn't line up with what her testimony is, and they have what is called truth in testimony. So, again, you see where they have hired 87,000. This is what they're trying to do, hire 87,000 IRS workers because we're getting ready to get our money. And it's going to take 87,000 more IRS agents to make sure that we're distributing and keeping track. We're going to be keeping track of our own money that's getting ready to be distributed out here. We're going to do it through the churches, separation of church and state, where the New Prosperity Baptist Church members, we're telling all the black churches, pull your rolls, and have all your family members, have every single family member. If they were born today, put them on the church family roll. This is very important. It's separation of church and state. We're going through the jurisdiction of the state of Louisiana, and it's a jurisdiction all by itself within the global market. So this is very important. If you don't understand the structure, if you don't have financial literacy, that is what the Davis brothers did. They actually took their money and knew how to invest their money, to invest the money, to invest the money. And every single time I turn around, another blessing. And I can never stress enough, this is very important that we get educated. Please turn off these TVs and these game shows and seem like they're just putting more and more and more and more. Please turn off these stories and all this. And we got some different stories getting ready to go down. Now, either you can be with us or you can be without us. And I'm telling you, I've received numerous people who have said, stop. Stop sending me. Okay. I'm just letting you know I'm required by law to notify you. I'm just telling you my part of it. And once you say no, I'm able to make sure I use this for confirmation. Make sure if somebody tells you no, say, okay, can you put that in writing? Because you get their portion too. It's understood. Now, I don't want nobody coming up in my face saying nothing to me. Please don't say nothing to me if I approached you, let you know you did not partake or you told me. Please put it in writing. That's all I'm asking of you, to protect me, because I'm getting ready to get everybody part who don't get their part. And that's just the way the game goes. I'm just telling you how the game goes, because they don't know you. And I've tried to inform you. You didn't respond. You didn't write. You didn't. That was on you. And so they say whatever is left, it is distributed among the people who stepped up and represented their households. So now, again, you want to try to get every single family member. You want to get every single family member on that church roll, because this is going to be distributed, again, separation of church and state. Mr. IRS, okay, separate. But we got to get a tracking number on every single person. On every single person, we are going to need that tracking number. It's going to be done through your church. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. We want everybody to please call the governor of the state of Louisiana. Put them on blast about the Davis family, the Victor family. I've been giving also strategies. We need our school of law, all of our nonprofit organizations, the civil rights organizations, the Black Lives Matter, the NAACP. We're calling on the Urban League. We're calling on the Urban Chamber, because this is all about our economic. And I'm finding right here in Las Vegas, we had the reunion for the Raiders. Now, no one, and again, the Raiders, I must give them credit for the fact that the Raiders, they have always had that connection with Grambling State University and our legendary coach Eddie Robinson, and NFL is his dream that was stolen, and of course his hard work in the foundation. And I, who am a direct descendant, do you hear me now, the daughter of Deacons for Defense, like we said, we may need to be taking some bullets, but we all are here taking bullets anyway, and we're living so far beneath who we are, the kings and queens. We're the multi-trillionaires. I keep letting people know we're not talking no million, billion. We're talking trillion. So, again, when you can't even be able to read the figure for how much money you got, you do not need to be handling that. So he who is faithful over little will be faithful over a lot. And we're telling every single person, go back to the state of Louisiana treasurer's office. Please have your paper and pen. Please get this information out to every single person you know. Go to the treasurer for the state of Louisiana. There is a little bit. You have to look very close where it says, find my funds. Find my funds. See if you put your great, starting with your grandparents and then your great-grandparents, anybody you know. Go to the Mormon church and that archive that they have and pull up as much as you can find. Go get the census and pull up from the 1800s. They started 1870, keeping the census. So go at least to these, and the deeper you go, the better it is going to be for you. Go to the courthouse and pull every document up in there that's got anybody who's any kin to you that's on them names from the church or from the Mormons. These are the things that you can be doing if you got some obituaries, if you got somebody and they do not have their parent name on their birth certificate. You can be able to have affidavits for people who know that, you know, this is who your father and you live as your father, biological or not, because you can leave whoever you want to leave to whoever you want to leave it to, and no one should be saying who's, oh, well, you know, it don't work that way. Whatever belonged to you, it belonged to you. And we're telling people you better get up and go get it. And if you don't, it's on you, and it's spread among the people who do. So, again, this is very important that you keep this information, you pass it on, research it, and then hit me up. I don't know how many people are constantly sending out information to. However, we do not get an opportunity to get feedback because we are hearing the word, but we're not doers of the word. So thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah. And I will talk about Al Sharpton. Every time James say, well, we ain't got no women. Here go a woman right here. Like I said, if you are not for us, you against us. And I don't care if you look like us. We're tired of you looking like us, these Sambos, and we got to have it in every city. And I promise you, this is the biggest problem, is the people who look like us, and they hold us down more than anybody want to hold us down. Do you hear me?
Absolutely. Thank you.
So thank you all so much for the opportunity.
Right on with the right on. Now we got to bring in the one and only. There's not even two of this man. This is my main man, Dr. Donald Tams. Dr. Tams, talk to us. Tell us what you want us to know today, because I tell you, last week you went completely off. I mean, you were, wow, you had it. And then I'm going to bring James. I'm gonna save some time for you, James. So hang in there. I know you itching to get in. But we're going to make sure it happens. But Dr. Tant, you got the floor. Talk to me.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Reverend. I think what the young lady left off was that it was so important that every single slave revolution that happened for freedom, when the Africans were fighting for freedom, it was always an African. It always was a black. It always was some Negro, house Negro, that always sold us out to keep us in slavery, because certain groups of slaves got comfortable with slavery. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have grown comfortable with being second-class citizens. We have grown comfortable with being Negroes, blacks, what have you. We have grown comfortable because we have not been speaking the language of a free people since the 70s. And what happened in the 70s is make sure people understand why we follow house Negroes, or we follow people who have been identified as FBI informants, like the Al Sharpton, like the Jesse Jackson, like the William O'Neill. Those individuals were praised and is a phrase for Dr. Claude Anderson teaches us that he came up with notorious manumission. Notorious manumission was put in place during the slave era to reward slaves who would sell out other slaves or enslaved Africans to the master. Now, the tenets of notorious manumission are that if you do something to increase the wealth of the slave owner, you are rewarded up in status. That means you may get some of his hand-down clothes. You may get some of the scraps from the table that he's done. If you're lucky, you might be able to move in the attic or in the basement. If you also protect the master from being injured or harmed by a slave revolt or by another African, then you're also rewarded. And the big one, if you squeal or speak against your race, you're also rewarded. And that's how you can get what's called black conservatives, that they want to conserve being slaves. That's how you get black Republicans who want to make sure that the republic stands for the white man. Because we have to be clear that we, the people in the Constitution, had nothing to do with African, African-American, black, colored, Negro, second-class citizen. It had nothing to do with that whatsoever, because at that time you were considered property, you were considered chattel, and in other words, you were the same thing as a cattle, a horse, or a sheep, a goat, a chicken. That's how you were. Throughout the Constitution is a white affirmative action. The Constitution and Bill of Rights is a white affirmative action to ensure the protection of whites in America against the enslaved Africans and the native people that they call the American Indians. So those Absolutely. Things are put in place to make sure that we have the current status quo. And what you have to understand is that the first part was called the Bill of Rights, and then the two other amendments in terms of the Constitution. So you had 12 parts of the Constitution of the United States. Now, the thing that you have to understand is that they created a second Constitution, the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment for the Africans. The 13th, 14th Amendments to the Constitution was strictly solely for only for those who are of African descent. So we are the Dosa. We are the Dosa. We are the Dosa. We are the D-O-E-S-A. 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 Dosa. We are the descendants of enslaved Africans. We are the descendants of enslaved Africans. That's what the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment were for, not for whites, not for Arabs, not for Hispanics, not for Asians, not for those from India, only for the descendants of enslaved Africans. And that's what we have to get in our heads, that we have to separate. And those individuals who cannot accept being descendants of enslaved Africans are the ones that are going to be selling us out. Those are the ones that we have to leave out. So we have to go back into the 60s and remember that in the 60s, from the 50s, it started in the 40s, the civil rights movement, it got momentum in the 50s, and it hit its high point in the 60s. And then in the 70s, they started retaliating back by law against the civil rights bill, which was only for descendants of enslaved Africans. But what the southern whites who did it, they included people who were against us, who didn't fight for us. They included white women. White women are the number one minority in the United States. White women are the number one minority in the United States. They receive 85% of minority contracts. And remember, the white Southerners came up with the word minority to mean less than, that you're not equal to. You are beneath. So Negroes who want to say they're minorities, Negroes who want to say they're minority business, so you're saying that you are low business, a beneath business, a substandard business. That's what you say when you are using the word minority. And so that is the Southern whites created that term. And then what happened is they brought the white woman and made her 51% ownership of a business. So you have an all-white business with a woman supposedly at the head of it. And now it's a minority contract. And those are the main contracts for the United States government that they received. Next, they added the Native American who was one of the number one slave owners in the United States. And they were the ones who were the bounty hunters who went out and captured the runaway slaves, or the runaway enslaved Africans, the Native Americans. And they and when they agreed to do that, they were called civilized. And so your five civilized tribes meant that they were trying to be pro-white. And what you wind up getting is also the Dawes Commission, D-A-W-E-S, that allowed whites to pay $5 to be added to the Indian registry. So what you have to understand is that they were against you. They were added. Then the next thing that wind up happening, they added the Hispanics or the Mexicans who did not fight beside you, who were on the sidelines, and then the ones who think they're what they call Castilian Spanish or from Latin America, from Spain, the lighter-skinned Spanish, they're the ones who go against you and mistreat you. Those are the ones who will kill you in the Dominican Republic because of your black skin. So you have to understand that they added people who did not do nothing to help us, to support us, to the Civil Rights Bill. So we cannot be looking for anybody else. We cannot be tricked. We're talking about multiculturalism. We cannot be tricked in terms of people of color, because those people from India, Pakistan, Ukraine, if they have a slight tan, they are color. But on the United States immigration, it says that there are only two types that come in, either black or white. So if you come from Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, or India, or anywhere from Asia, China, you are classified as white, and therefore your first offer the Republican Party. Next, what happens is if you come from black, then it's a hard time for you getting in because they tell you get black. Even now, though, the Nigerians who are black skinned but white in their thinking some of them are starting to bounce back and see that their black skin is not being treated equal here in America, and they thought they were better than us. And so we can't do that. We have to unify with just us, and those who can speak the name of Marcus Garvey, those who can speak the name of Malcolm X, those who can speak the name of Elijah Muhammad, those who can speak the name of Pat Daly, Martin Delaney, those who can speak the name of Queen Mother Moore, those who can speak the name of Assurda Secor, those who can speak the name of Brother Cleavage and his wife, those people of the Black Panther, Huey Newton, those people, if they can't speak those names and if they don't have a track record, then we need to isolate them, designate them as being enemies of the state, enemies of the African-American, African state. We now have to get in the mindset that we are unapologetically black, that we are unapologetically African, and that we're unshamefully pro-black. And if they say they have problems with that, then that's a Negro that you cannot deal with, whether she's male or female, because they're going to look for notorious manumission and sell you out. Now, our problem started. Now, here we are. The hatred toward us is because in Japan, Sakano Tomoto was your first shogun samurai of Japan. When you go over to China, you have Fu Xi, which was one of your first emperors of China. And there you go. Both of those individuals are identified as having virgin black skin and woolly hair. Virgin black skin, that real black, original black skin. And then you also go in, you find that Buddha was also African. And the further you go back, you see he got his little cornrows going on, and he got his black feature. So even in India, and then in India you also have which the Indian language says, you can say Africa's head, but the Indian language just says Krishna. Krishna in Hindi means black one, the black one. So he was super virgin black, Krishna, that guy of India who set the standard over in India. So when you come over, we have Bilal from Ethiopia. We have Bilal, who's also the Arabs called Abyssinia, but Bilal coming over as a diplomat. He's a lawyer back in his home country, but he's acting as an ambassador, and they enslave him to work as a judge to overhear cases until the Prophet Muhammad set him free, praise and blessing be upon him. And then what wind up happening, he writes the first part of the Quran because Muhammad was illiterate, could not read or write. And that's why you have Bilal, the black man, one of the pillars of Islam, and who the Persians, who we call Arabs now, were jealous of. So we have that in that country. Then we have in Germany, we have Pushkin, Pushkin is in Russia, where he gives them their language because they were going to be speaking French. And a black man created the Russian language. Then you have Beethoven over there creating a sympathy, who's also more an African. And then you have Othello and these others. And then you have in Europe, you have in Asia, you have in the Middle East, you have the African presence, and God knows what happened in Egypt when we go back to 10,005 B.C. at the building of Horemheb, what you call the Sphinx. All Europe were cave people at that time. All Europe and Asia, they were living in caves and being cavemen and cavewomen, where we had already had university schools, hospitals, and government, and architecture and engineering systems, and had mapped out the first five planets of the solar system and knew that the planets went around the sun. So 10,000 B.C., there was nobody there but us, and it was just us. And so what happens is you have that jealous and envy of those few individuals who upstepped the scales. Now, there were some brothers in Africa who felt sorry because Europe was getting ready to be wiped out by the bubonic plague, and so that 711 A.D., blacks went into Europe and saved them from extinction. And then later on, from 711 A.D. to 1488, and going into 1485, you have a group of whites, your Illuminati being formed, those individuals who now gather to kick out the Africans who have set up the universities of Europe, where Galileo went and studied, where all the great scholars of Europe went and studied, Michelangelo went and studied. They all had black teachers. So now this group that we now call the American government, the British government, those groups, your Bilderbergs, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, all these individuals now turn against the Africans that saved their lives, and that's the state that we have here today. Because the British government stopped the slave trade, the American government stopped the slave trade, but the Arabs never stopped the slave trade. So today on this day of August 29th in 2022, Arabs are still kidnapping and enslaving Africans on the African continent and selling them in Arab countries and in Indian countries as of we speak right now. So the thing that you also need to know is that the British people respected Timbuktu, the University of Sankore of Mali, but the American white did not. He's the one who kidnapped the professors and the teachers, and that's why we have Benjamin Banneker from the Dogon tribe mapping out and designing Washington, D.C., So what we have is that a jealousy and envy and hatred, that's why they hate us. That's why they do us the way we do. And what we have to start doing is do us the way we need to do each other, to love one another. So those who are supposed to be of the Islamic faith, the Hebrew faith, or Christian faith, it says that you're supposed to love your brother like you love yourself, and that means you have to love your African brother, your African sister, like you love yourself. Until you can do that, love the black skin that God put you in, you're not going to win.
Amen. Amen. Doc, that is huge, because we got a long way to go, you know. And when you talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that's you know right now is you know, we as a black person, we don't, there is no Constitution, there is no law for us, and it's been that way, but nobody want to talk about that. And they really have done us in. Well, look, I let my friend talk a little bit. He's in interview to talk. Take care of yourself.
All right.
That's beautiful. Good job. And let me bring in my good friend James. But before I bring him in, I want to make sure that everybody understands how important the Sample of the Year Award is. It is huge. And every single city should have their sample and call these people out. You know, we could even get a statue made of these people and put it right in front of City Hall or wherever they may work at, so they can have it, because it's crucial that we have this, so they'll know that we're, you know, we're serious about what we're doing. And there's just so many samples. I mean, you know, everybody want to please that white man. Everybody want to please the white man. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. James, talk to me. What's going on with you?
What's going on, Reverend Pinckney? Well, what's going on, I'm going to tell you. We can't win until we bring out the real devils, the Al Sharptons, Reverend Williams, Sam Reynolds. Anybody dealing with National Network is against the black race. Why is it that we can't just speak up and say we want to be treated like all the other races that come to this country? Why is it that only the black race are now really being treated like they are the foreigners? Black women, answer that question. We are not foreigners. We was here first. Why can't we be treated equal? Why can't we be treated equal? And always talking about the black church. I'm going to give you this about the black church. Ben Harbor, lead in the water. How many black churches come up there? How many black churches spoke up for Ben Harbor? See, don't tell me nothing about the black church. The black church is the number one enemy to the black race. The number one enemy. And as long as they had lead in the water, how many have showed up yet? Not one. You had one white woman spoke about Ben Harbor running as a Republican. So much for the Democrats. Huh. Democrats are so good. Obama was the president. Lead in the water in Flint. Look how he showed to the world the water was safe to drink. Huh. Republicans won't stoop that low. It take a Democrat to stoop that low. Look at all this mass killing by these Arabs killing all these young blacks down here in Detroit and in the suburbs. You don't hear national networks say one word, do you? No. But if it had been a white man killing a black, Al Sharpton would have been on the news. We want to hear their name, Al Sharpton. And for all the black women that's listening, why don't y'all ask Al Sharpton, when that six-year-old black baby got killed execution style, 1 mile outside of Detroit city limits, less than 20 miles from National Network headquarters, Al Sharpton did not open his mouth. He didn't go get Maxine Waters like he did for George Floyd, did he? See, George Floyd was killed with his head on. This six-year-old was shot execution style in the back of the head. Then his body was mutilated. That's for the black women that always want to speak about Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton need to be ran out of this country. Maybe so why don't they ask Al Sharpton?
Let's send Al Sharpton to Russia. Maybe
yeah, they need to. They need to. Maybe he can get it. Maybe he can get it.
Sharpton goes to Russia and brings Brittany home. Let's do it like that.
But what he need to watch this? What he need to bring her home for? Russia got their law just like the United States got their own law. You get caught in the United States doing the same thing, they're gonna lock you up.
That's if you're black.
That's right.
You know, if you,
see,
if you're
we need
white,
to, we need to get rid of Al Sharpton and anybody that just like Al Sharpton. We need to get rid of them because they are the ones who become multimillionaires every time somebody black get killed by a white cop. First thing come out of their mouth, they steady killing us. What is their name? The next time a white cop kill a black man, everybody get you a white lawyer, and you file your own lawsuit. You can get paid. You don't need Al Sharpton. Quit helping someone that's not helping you.
Absolutely.
Al Sharpton
Absolutely.
Would never do that. He turned in Don King. He was a born snitch.
Yep, he wore a wire. The lawyer that defended him when he had all them charges, he wore a wire and got his license suspended.
And let me ask you this also. Here you got Detroit, the Motor City, the biggest, blackest city in the whole United States country. Black women, listen to this. How did they lose the city of Detroit? Al Sharpton not one time said, let's go and protest to save the city. They sold out to the foreigners. This is why the foreigners have everything. They own everything in the city of Detroit, but they live on the outskirts. But they own, only thing they don't own is the black church. They don't need to own the black church because black folks are being treated like they are the devil's children. How is it that we could be in this country and we still don't have nothing?
Nothing.
And you want to talk about black-on-black crime. You got black-on-black crime because everybody's black is in survival mode. It was just like Hurricane Katrina. See, I was in Louisiana when Hurricane Katrina hit. I was at a truck stop watching on the news. And this is how they played the blacks. They showed the blacks looting the stores. They showed the whites. Even the foreigners down there looting the same stores. But when they showed the blacks, they said, oh, they're robbing and looting the stores. But when they showed the white folks in the foreigners, they said they are surviving. They're taking to survive. You see? Now watch this. Walmart had a spokesperson came on the news and said, let them take everything out of them stores because all the food and stuff is insured. Black women won't tell you. See, that's the problem. Let everybody speak for themselves. I would love to see all the citizens that live in Benton Harbor make a video and shame the president, supposed to be the president of this country, because for some reason he's leaving out the black folks in Benton Harbor, and I don't hear black women raising their voice not one time. It got to be some black women live in Benton Harbor. Why don't they support them? Support the kids, the baby that's dying with lead. So black women, is it safe to drink lead in the water?
Gang, listen to this. Whatever happened to that guy that killed them black babies, and whatever happened to him, the one that shot the baby in the back of his head and then cut off the baby period. Whatever happened to him?
They gave him life. He fired his lawyer. He represented himself. He said he did not do that killing. He was framed. The judge told him, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to send you without you being in the courtroom. See, nobody supported that black family. Not one black radio host on 910. See, 910 radio host is getting paid. They know what to say, when not to say it.
But, again, finish telling us about that what happened there. What happened? I need to know what happened with that. You say he was giving life.
When he started speaking for himself on the news, they beeped it out. So you really, the only thing you heard him say, I didn't do the killing, I was framed, and then you know how the news people, they start talking, so you can't really hear what he's saying now anyway. But I believe him, he was framed. He was framed. Because you got to look at it this way. How do you kill a baby?
Yeah.
Execution style. And nobody black speaks about it. Al Sharpton didn't even speak about it. Sam Reynolds didn't speak about it. And it was less than 20 miles from National Network headquarters. And they won't speak about it right now today. I wonder how much money did Al Sharpton get from the Arabs? Not to speak about that. He had to get a pretty good penny to pass out to the other black pastors because nobody would speak about that. No one. How do you kill a baby that's 6 years old?
And what about the
if it had been a white baby, it'd have been an uproar. But for some reason,
there was a lady, the baby should have killed. You know, people need know about that.
Killed her execution style also. Blew her brains out of her head. Now, the police chief in the city of Warren, when it first happened, he says, whoever did this is nothing but a monster. Michigan do not have, what is that law they call it? Where they can just kill you, put you on death row. Michigan don't have that, but we're going to see if they can bring this in for the killing of a baby. That police chief went to changing his story, the way he talked also. See, that's the biggest cover-up next to Jimmy Hoffa missing. That's the biggest cover-up in the state of Michigan next to Jimmy Hoffa.
All right, big guy, we have just ran out of time. I want to say this, those of you who are out there, don't forget to get your vote in. You can simply get your vote in by just emailing banco9342@sbcglobal.net. Get your vote in. You got the leader right now is Ron Singleton. He's leading the pack, followed by Marcus Singer Muhammad, or if you want to call him Muhammad. Then we have... In third place, Judge Maybelline Mayfield, the baby giveaway, the baby taker. That's what I should say. And then we have the Wayne Seats, followed by his mother, Marletta Seats. And then we have the chief of police. We have it all. We have it all right here. So get your vote in, get your vote in, get your vote in. Give these people some love. Give them some love for being a Sambo of the year. How can you be a Sambo in this time? All the suffering black people is suffering, and give them some love. Do it for Reverend Pinckney. Listen, next week, Monday, Sunday at 5 p.m., and then we come back Monday at 1 p.m. Everybody have a great